This morning, I want you to imagine, if you will, that you're walking through a forest with which you're not familiar, and you come upon a clearing, and there is a tent all set up with all the accommodations inside, even a campfire out in front of it. As you observe this, there's some things that come to your mind, I'm sure. Number one, that there's been someone there before you. You realize that this just didn't happen, that someone had set this up, and you might stick around for a little bit to see if anyone comes back, or you might call out and to see if anyone is near and try to find out who built up this campsite. It would not occur to you to say, I'm sure, well, how about this? What a stroke of luck. I came upon a site so perfectly suited to my needs. And I dare not think that you would go into the tent and make yourself at home and enjoy yourself. Because you realize someone had set that up. It belongs to someone. You might begin looking at some clues. You might count the number of coffee pots or coffee cups by the campfire to determine how many people are staying in that tent. You might look at some of the clothing that's in it or footprints, and you'll find it easy to determine are they adults or are they Boy Scouts? And you might even look inside the tent and see that there are some rifles, and you would recognize they must be on a hunting expedition. But you see those clues that just further confirm this campsite has been built up by someone. And the point of this is that human minds look for explanations. We can tell someone has been here. There's so much overwhelming evidence. In a similar way, we humans have come upon, so to speak, a clearing in the cosmos. Planet Earth is here and it's habitable. In fact, it's just right for our existence. There's so many things and so many clues, so many evidences that we could cite that show that planet Earth is just right for you and I to live, for it to sustain life. But then we recognize this about planet Earth, and we began to ask questions. Well, why is it here? How did it come about? And why am I here? And I think it's natural and it's important for us to ask those kind of questions and to look at the clues for answers. It's reasonable to ask how things came to be this way. And as we explore those questions, I believe we can only come up with two answers. Either it was created by someone or something that existed prior to it and had power and intelligence to bring it into existence, or else it exists by chance, that it just happened to occur and produced its present state of order by virtue of natural law. Two possible answers are stated in representative fashion in the opening sentences of two books that I want to cite for you. The first book is one that you're probably holding in your hand. It begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The other book is a book perhaps that you have read or heard about. It contains this line, the first line, "The cosmos is all that is or ever was or ever will be." Again, two explanations as to how this earth came about, why it is here, and why it is habitable. Is it the eternal God that's responsible, or is it that we have an eternal cosmos? Well, the existence of planet Earth as a habitable clearing in the cosmic forest depends upon a multitude of very specific features. And I don't mean to get scientific because I'm not a scientist, but let me restate some things that about our world, our Earth, that makes it so unique and how it's just right for our existence. the tilt of the earth's axis, 23 degrees, I'm told. If it were not tilted at this degree, water vapor from the oceans would go to the two poles and condense and pile up as mountains of ice, and we could not exist. The earth is some 93 million miles from the sun, rotates around it in about 365 days. If the earth rotated significantly slower than it does at this distance, it would not withstand the temperature extremes on its surface. We couldn't survive. The earth is about 240,000 miles from the moon. If that distance were shortened by one-fifth, the tides would be so high of our oceans that they would cover the mountaintops. Planet Earth has a rich supply of carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, all of which except hydrogen appear to be in short supply everywhere else in our universe. But all of these are essential to sustaining life. Four-fifths of the Earth's surface is covered with water. This is very important, obviously, in the water cycle so that we can have rain, water to drink, and so forth. But all of this water on the Earth's surface also serves to regulate the temperature of the planet so that you and I can live. And on we could go, citing things about our world that make it just right. But all of these things had to be in place in order to sustain life. F.J. Dyson, who is not a theist, doesn't believe in God, wrote this paragraph in Scientific American. As we look out into the universe and identify the many accidents of physics and astronomy that have worked together to our benefit, it almost seems as if the universe must have in some sense known we are coming. He says it's just accidental that all these things came into place. It's as if someone knew we were coming. Well, is Earth simply a series of miraculous coincidences? Is it just to be explained by accidents? Think about a complex computer. I don't know about you, but many times I like to know how something works. But I've given up on computers. I don't know how it works. And when things go wrong, I call Chris Presley, as many of you do. He knows more about it. But you think about a complex computer, and the chips seem to get smaller and smaller. And again, I can't explain how it works. But I continue to be amazed at how it can do things so quickly. I don't see how I went through school without one, which I did not have one. And the younger people will probably be shocked at that. But you think about all the components that go into a computer system, all the calculations it's able to make quickly. But then I tell you about this particular computer system, that nobody planned this computer, that it's the chance result of a lucky accident when a storm blew through a junkyard one day. And after the storm passed through, there sat this computer. Now you'd be thinking, David, you're really missing your family this weekend, aren't you? You'd think I was insane. But note this. A computer without a manufacturer would be a minor marvel compared to a universe without a creator. The complex systems in our world are far superior to that of a mechanical computer. With all of this orderliness, this design, and the very fact that it's here, can it be explained by chance? Is it reasonable to assign this order to accidents? Well, the universe exists and it's real. In fact, it's a grand effect. One writer suggests if an entity cannot account for its own being, if it's not sufficient to have created itself, then it's said to be contingent. It's dependent upon someone or something else. Can the universe account for its own being? Did it create itself? Can it have caused itself? Well, what caused the universe? Let me repeat something that I stated last week. There's really three possible explanations. Number one, one explanation is, well, the universe is eternal. It's always existed. It's always been here. Let me cite to you what a scientist, many describe him as one of the greatest scientific writers of our time. Dr. Robert Jastrow wrote a book, God and the Astronomers. He is an agnostic. He states that you cannot know if there is a God or not. But I want to show you some things that he wrote concerning the eternal universe. He says, now three lines of evidence, the motions of the galaxies, the laws of thermodynamics, and the life story of the stars pointed to one conclusion. All indicated that the universe had a beginning. Here's a scientist, well known, very studied, and examining these evidences states the universe had to have a beginning. In another book he cites, there was a great deal of discussion about the fact that the second law of thermodynamics applied to the cosmos indicates that the universe is running down like a clock. If it is running down, there must have been a time when it was fully wound up. It had to have a beginning, this scientist says, who doesn't believe in God. His conclusion, modern science denies an eternal existence to the universe, either in the past or in the future. It had a beginning, it will have an end. The universe, even as scientists have recognized, many of them, that the universe is not eternal. Secondly, well, does that mean that the universe created itself out of nothing? Some scientists have suggested this in order to avoid the implications that there is a divine being that created the world. Well, it must have created itself. But then that just begs the question, doesn't it? With what did it begin? And it ends up being a vicious cycle. But the fact remains, no material thing can create itself. No material thing can create itself. That leaves us with a third conclusion. The universe was created by something or someone. Something or someone anterior, existing before it, and superior to the universe. Since the universe is not eternal, since it could not have existed itself, created itself, the only alternative is that it was created by something or someone. A contingent universe, one writer stated, must be explained in terms of a non-contingent being, notice, who has these qualities, who is eternal, self-sufficient, and non-material in nature. Don't you see God all over that? Eternal. If there had ever been a time when God did not exist, then nothing at all of a contingent nature could ever exist. God is eternal. God is self-sufficient. He is non-material. Even as the Bible describes, John 4, verse 24, God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's non-material. If he was material, he would not be eternal. But not only the fact that he's eternal, self-sufficient, and non-material, the Creator had to be and is infinite in power. With the vast universe, thinking about our world and even the universe, so marvelous that it is, we recognize that it had to come from an omnipotent power. Not only all-powerful, but of incredible wisdom, infinite in intelligence. Brute power alone could not have created the things that we see around us. This power would have been directed, had to be directed by an omniscient mind. But one other thing about God, that our Creator must be of a moral nature. We'll talk more about this tonight, that we have moral sensitivities, humans do. And the only way to adequately account for that is that we must have a moral Creator. Putting it all together, the ultimate explanation of this cosmos is an eternal, self-sufficient, non-material, infinitely powerful, infinitely wise, and moral being. And the Bible describes Him as God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. R.L. Wysong commented, "Everyone concludes naturally and comfortably that highly ordered and designed items, machines, houses, owe existence to a designer. It's unnatural to conclude otherwise." Just like wandering through the woods and coming upon this campsite all set up, you knew someone had to be there. Someone had to put it all together. When you see a house, you know there had to be a builder. In Hebrews 3 and verse 4 that Ross read for us, every house is built by someone, but He who built all things is God. Careful reasoning concerning the nature of the cosmos we inhabit constitutes a legitimate basis for belief in God. Our faith is not unfounded. There is evidence all around us. There was a scientist that delivered a lecture on the solar system and gave his explanation as to how it came into being. Well, there was an elderly lady that came up to him after his speech and said, "Well, I've got a better explanation than you as to how our world exists and continues to thrive." She says, "We don't live on a ball revolving around the sun. We live on a crust of earth on the back of a giant turtle." Well, the speaker attempted to deal with his critic very gently. He asked, "Well, if your theory is correct, madam, what does the turtle stand on?" "You're a clever man. That's a good question," she responded, "but I can answer it. The first turtle stands on the back of a second, larger turtle." He continued his reasoning. "But then what does that second turtle stand on?" The old woman smiled triumphantly. She knew the answer. "It's no use," she announced. "It's turtles all the way down." And we laugh, but as we analyze her reasoning, if we would suggest that the universe is eternal, that it came about by physical processes, chemical processes, then it always begs the question, where did that come from? What does that stand on? Since everything and every event in the physical universe depends for its explanation on something outside of itself, we're forced to choose between either physical events causing physical events to infinity, or we can reasonably deduce from the evidence around us, this universe was created by God. You see, apart from God, it's turtles without end. There's no other explanation reasonably. Our Bibles teach us, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Paul, by inspiration, is writing, teaching us that we can look into nature, we can look into the world and see God's fingerprints. There's some things we can deduce about God. His eternal power, His divine nature from the creation of the world. Isaiah 45, verse 18. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain. Notice, who formed it to be inhabited. I would agree with that scientist, Dyson, who said, if you look at all the things of this universe, it looks like someone knew we were coming. God created this world with us in mind to sustain our lives. He formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none other. What does that mean? How does that impact our lives today? It tells us many things, some of which are these. This world is no accident. It was created with purpose. But even more, it means that you are no accident. That you've been created by a powerful creator. And that means if there's order and design in this universe, there must be something important about my life and yours. What is that design? We can't go into nature and determine that. We'll end up back here in the Word of God. And in it we find that we were created to worship Him. We were created with the longing and the design to live in relationship with this God who not only created the world, but loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us that we might live with Him forever. And we learn that from the Word of God that our greatest fulfillment is found in surrendering our lives in obedience to His will and in living for Him. The heavens declare the glory of God, and we find our fulfillment in continuing to seek to bring glory to Him by the way that we live. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. You're here for God's purposes. It's our hope and prayer that if you've not obeyed the gospel, that if you've not surrendered your life in obedience to the good news about Jesus, that you'll do that. That based upon your faith, not only in God, but that Jesus is the Son of God, that you'll turn from sin, that you'll confess Jesus and be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away. Are you living for Him? Have you recognized that that's your greatest purpose, to bring glory to Him with your life? It may be that as children of God, we've done those things that have brought dishonor to Him. It may be that we need the prayers of the church on our behalf. If that be the case, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, would you come right now as we stand and sing?